This morning we are going to be in Genesis chapter 22. So if you want to go ahead and turn there. But as I was going through this week and praying and reading through, I went back to a song that Stacy has sang many times it was stuck in my mind, stuck in my heart. It talks about, I lay it down at Mount Moriah and offer up what you hold best. And God kept, no matter where I read, no matter where I studied, that's what seemed to be coming back to my heart was that idea. And then as I look back over the last two or three weeks, and I didn't do this on purpose, but it seems like following, committing, laying down has been the theme that God has laid on my heart over the past two or three weeks. And that really wasn't my intention, but that makes me feel a lot better because I know that when I'm preaching something that it's not my idea when God shows me something like that. And He did show me a few things this week in this passage that were not even close to where I was headed. I'm excited to get into God's Word this morning because I know it's going to be something that He has for me as well as for you. And so as we look at this, you know, I could ask you, if I was to ask, what do you know about Abraham's faith? We get all kinds of different answers. We get that he was asked to lay down his son or to sacrifice his son, Isaac. We know that he was told to leave his home and go to a place that God would show him. And there's so many things that Abraham, his faith really stuck out. And the Bible tells us that it was credited to him as righteousness because of his faith. And so that began to think on that and come to the point of asking myself that question. How long has it been since you felt God calling you to do something specific? So I want you to ask yourself that question. How long has it been since you felt God calling you to do something specific? Because this will go beyond religion. This will go beyond church. This will go back to your relationship with God. And that's where it all has to start. That's where it all hinges, is on our relationship with God. And in asking the question to myself, how long has it been since God called you to do something? I can pick out big things in my life. I can pick out a certain time when God called me to do this and God called me to do that. But sometimes it seems like those are so few and far between. Do you ever get that way? Do you ever feel like it's one of those things that the mountain peaks? Maybe it's a church camp. Maybe it's a revival. Maybe it's a Bible study. But there's these times when, man, I just feel like God moved in my life and I heard Him. But then I went through the next week or two, and man, I don't know that I heard anything. Well, this morning I want to go to that passage in Genesis 22, and we're going to read that, and then we're going to kind of break down a little bit of Abraham's faith. So let's read along, starting in verse 1. Says, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went, and placed to the place with which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to the young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. And when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you for your word. We just pray today that, Lord, you would speak to us in a mighty way. Lord, help us to understand what it is today that you have for us, that we might live to glorify and honor you more every single day. Lord, teach us, change us, mold us, and make us into your will. We thank you and we praise you for this opportunity. In your name we pray. Amen. As we go into this passage, I had it all lined up, what I felt like God was wanting me to share with you, and then this morning God kind of changed things up. I love it when he does that. It's kind of scary when you're getting ready to stand up here in about 10 minutes and God says, "Hey, we're going to change things up just a little bit. See how much faith you got." And so as I'm reading through this passage again this morning and praying over it for the last time, I get to verse 8. And Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." Isaac was a young man of faith, and he knew that you always had to have the fire and the wood, but you had to have a lamb for the offering as well. And he asks, "Where's the lamb?" And Abraham responds with a passage that I want us to understand, because before we can get into anything that I had studied through this week, anything that I had written down or planned, we have to understand that this is where it all starts, that God will provide himself the lamb. You know, too many times you and I go into a problem or a situation, maybe not like this, but some type of situation, and I try to provide my own way out. I try to provide the things that I think I should do. I try to look for ways, or maybe somebody else to provide. But if it comes down to faith, if you and I are going to have faith, then I can't depend on somebody else to provide. I can't depend on myself to provide. Because true faith has to hinge on God providing. Too many times you and I, we know God's there. We know God's going to provide. Look at what God had done before with Abraham. He had led him. He had called him. He had been there always, and he had made all these promises to him, and he had provided. He had done everything. And so the one thing that he wants to pass on here more than anything to Isaac is God's going to provide. Understand that God is going to provide. And so as I think about that, I think, daily, do you depend on God? Daily, do I depend on God to provide for me? Physically, you know, financially, but more importantly, spiritually. Because, you know, if you can get a nest egg built up in the bank, or if you can get a pretty secure job, things like that, that's one way God is providing daily, financially. If you've got a decent house and everything is working right, God provides materially when your car will start every time you turn the key. God provides in those ways. But how many times on a daily basis does God provide for you and me spiritually? How many times does He provide spiritually daily? Because if we ask ourselves that question, then we've got to put ourselves in this spot daily. And the only way we can do that is go through these things that Abraham did. The first thing he was doing, God's going to test him, and he calls him and says, "Abraham," and I love his response. He says, "Here I am." Excuse me. Might as well just leave that right there. He answers with the response, "Here I am." Now, that's not just your normal, "Yeah." You know, when somebody hollers down the hall and they don't know if you're hearing them and you say, "Yeah," that's just to let them know that you're here and I heard you. But when he says, "Here I am," it's more than just being present. It's more than just acknowledging that I hear you. It's, "Here I am." It's like when somebody asks for a volunteer. You only volunteer when? If you're willing to do what they tell you to do. You know, I had a friend of mine tell me one time that in the Army, you don't volunteer. When they say, "Whoever wants to volunteer, step forward," and everybody steps back, so it makes that one guy look like he's stepping forward. But when we volunteer for something, that's like stepping forward and saying, "Here I am, I'm ready to do whatever." When he said, "Here I am," he was ready to do whatever he was asked. For me and you to understand and have that attitude, I have to be in tune with God. I have to have a relationship with Him in such a way that I trust Him, because I know whatever He asks me to do, He's going to be able to equip me to do it. You know, if a teacher asks for a volunteer, say I'm sitting in a math class and a teacher asks for a volunteer, there is no way I'm raising my hand, because they may have me go up to the board and do some big math problem. Or they may have me, you know, sweep the floors. Or that. If I don't know that it's something I want to do, I don't volunteer. And for us, many times, we don't come to God and say, "Here I am," because we're not willing to do what He calls us to do. I mean, after all, He knows I'm here. He knew Abraham was there. Abraham didn't have to say, "Yeah, I heard you." He knew Abraham heard him. He was listening to Abraham's heart. He needed to say, "Here I am, I'm ready." Not just, "I'm listening, God," but "I'm available. I'm ready to do whatever it is you're calling me to do." Now, that's scary for us as Christians, because that puts us in a spot to where we have to be willing to do what God calls us to do. And the majority of Christians are not ready to do that. The majority of Christians are great with the way God provides, great with the way God protects, but when it comes to God asking me to step out and do something that I'm not sure I want to do, that I'm pretty sure I can't do, it's a different story. I've got to listen to Him, but I've also got to be available as well. And I can remember years ago, and this will kind of date me, and some of you will understand this, and a few of you younger ones will have no idea. I remember years ago I was watching Happy Days. And it was during basketball season of Happy Days, and you guys may know where I'm going with this if you've seen that episode. But anyway, they get down to a point where I think somebody fouls out or something, and the coach looks over, and he hollers at Ralph Mouth to come get in. So Ralph comes in, and he gets ready to take off his sweatsuit. Some of you already know. Ralph had his street clothes on under his sweatsuit. because he wasn't ready to play. He had never been in before. And so when he took off his sweatsuit, here he was in his street clothes. He was not ready to play. He was there. He heard the coach call. But man, when he unzipped that sweatsuit and he had on a button-up shirt and he pulled his pants off and he had on slacks, he reminded me so much of me as a Christian. Man, I hear God talk and I'm there and I look really good on the outside. I look just like everybody else that's a Christian. But man, I'm not ready to do what he's called me to do. I'm not ready to be in the game. I still got on the world's clothes. You know, when we ask God to move in our lives, or when we say we're going to have faith, and we want to have faith like Abraham, we want to be able to lay it all down before God, we can't just look good on the outside. We can't be the world on the inside. We have to be prepared to do what he calls us to do. So as we look at this, as Abraham, he says, here I am. And he says, I'm here and I'm available. But he's also, he goes beyond that and he does what God calls him to do. But let's stop and look at this next part. When God says, I want you to take your son, your only son, whom you love, and go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. Now, this is the son of his old age. This is the son that God's promised that he's going to give him an inheritance. And I'm sitting there, if I'm Abraham, I'm saying, God, I hear you. And I'm here ready to do what you call me to do. But let's back up. Let's be reasonable, God. Are you really wanting me? Because you promised me all these promises through my son. And now you're wanting me to sacrifice him as a burnt offering. And God would say yes. Because the bottom line is, if we go over and he says to the men that he brought them, he said, I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again. The worship in the Greek is plural. The come again in the Greek is plural. Understand that Abraham, he knew, he told them that the boy and I are going to be coming back. We are both going to go worship, and we are both going to come back. What kind of faith, what kind of belief does that say that Abraham had? You're going to offer him as a burnt offering. He's going to be a pile of ashes when you're done. Abraham says, that's okay. My God can take those ashes, turn them back into my son if he wants to. If he doesn't want to, whatever happens, I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to lay down my son because I love you, God. Because I trust you, God. So many times we're not willing to lay down a relationship with a person because if I share with them, if I talk to them about God in my life, if I say to them what God calls me to say, I may lose that relationship. And then, God, I would never have a chance to witness to them again. The bottom line is, I have to have enough faith that when God calls me to do something, even if it seems ridiculous, even if it seems extremely painful, I've got to be willing to do what he calls me to do. You can listen, and that's easy. And you can be available. That's maybe not quite as easy, but it's still easy. But to be willing to sacrifice and lay down that you love the most because you love God more, because you want to obey God more, that's hard. Too many times, you and I, when it comes to listening to God, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm just warning you now. This past week, I'm sitting in the living room, and I'm in my chair. My wife is over on the couch with her legs stretched out. And I ask her a question. And she's reading a book on her phone. And I told her, I was putting this in the sermon, so I'm okay that way. But I'll still pay for it. But it drives home the point, okay? So that, it's really only for the good of the gospel. You guys are laughing. I'm serious. But I'm also trying to protect myself. But I ask her a question. And I'm looking at her, and there's no response whatsoever. So I wait a little bit, and I wait a little bit. And I say, huh? And she says, oh, I didn't say anything. I said, I know. I did. And then we laughed about it, and I said, that's going in a sermon sometime. Did I realize it would be this week? No. But listen to the analogy of this. When you and I go to God and we call out to Him, I'm ready to listen. When I ask Him about a situation or when I ask Him about something that's going on in my life or I pray for an answer, I am so intent in listening to Him that when He speaks, I hear. But how many times in my daily life does God say, hey, Steve, and I'm busy reading my book? And He says, hey. And I said, oh, I didn't say anything. I didn't ask for anything. I didn't come to you in prayer. He said, no, I'm talking to you. How many times do we listen to God on His terms? Because so often when we go to God and we pray, we get down and we pray, and then we get right back up and we go back to our book. We have a problem when I pray, even sitting long enough to listen to the answer that He has for me. But how many times, and I can't even imagine how many times, that He would say to me something, and if I'm not intent on listening to Him, I do not hear Him. I'm going about my own way. I'm doing my own thing. And He wants to be the first one to speak. I'm used to speaking to Him, listening to Him. I am not used to Him speaking to me when I wasn't ready for it, when it wasn't something I was asking for. Do you think Abraham in this passage, at the very beginning when he's sitting there, that he's thinking, you know, I ought to ask God if He wants me to go to Mount Moriah this week. I ought to ask God if He wants me to sacrifice my son. Do you think that was something He wanted to do? Do you think that was something He expected to hear? No. But he was so in tune with God, he was listening. And when God spoke, he heard Him. And even though it was something he did not want to do, he was still willing to do it. Too many times, we only listen on our terms. And then there's that next part of this passage. When God tells him to go, and he's willing to go. Okay, I'm willing to do this, God. I know that it's all there. And so he takes these other two young men that work for him or that live at his house that are servants, whatever the case, he takes his other two men with him and he gets there and he finds the place of where God says, okay, this is where I want you to go. And so he gets there and as he does, he says, okay, you two stay here. I'm going to go and do this. Me and the boy are going to go and we're going to worship and we're going to come again. Nobody else knew what was going on. These two men, they went with him, but it wasn't like he told them, hey, we're going to go up to Mount Moriah and we're going to sacrifice Isaac. They didn't know. They weren't along for encouragement. They weren't along so that they could say, hey, hang in there. You can do this. God's told you to do this. He's right behind you. It wasn't for that. It came to a point that he had to say, you stay here, I've got to do this alone. man, we want to listen. We want to be available, and sometimes we want to sacrifice. But man, when it comes to stepping out alone, there's nothing more scary than when God says to you, nobody else knows what I'm asking you to do. Nobody else is going to be involved what I'm calling you to do. Man, when we go on a mission trip or something and there's 20 people, oh, it is so much fun to go and to do street witnessing or to be building, doing a building project or doing some type of a ministry when there's 20-some people. But when God says for you individually to go and do something by yourself that nobody else knows about, that is something that's going to cost you to sacrifice, and it's going to cost you relationships, it's going to cost you so many other things, and nobody's going to be there to help you but me. How do we do then? When he says, this is just between you and me. I'm the one that spoke to you. I'm the one that called you. I'm the one that told you what to do. I'm the one that told you the place to go. I'm the one that's telling you to sacrifice. Are you willing to serve God alone? Because in this world we live in, there's going to be a time when it's going to come down to you and God. That's what we have to understand. My relationship is not because we have a great church. And so my faith is strong because I've got a great church around me. My faith is not strong because I've got a great family around me. My faith is strong because of my relationship with God. If we look at this, listen, be available, be willing, make it personal, just you and him. And then what happens? He rewards him. Abraham, Abraham, here I am. Same answer. Hey, I'm here and I'm willing to do whatever you say. And he rewards him. And I'm watching you from heaven. I've got your back. Look behind you. I missed that till this morning. Be honest with you, I missed that till right now. It says in that verse that when the angel of the Lord spoke to him, he said, Abraham, Abraham, he said, here I am. He said, don't lay a hand on the boy. It says he stands up and he looks behind him, and there's a ram caught in a thicket. And God's got your back. But you've got to be willing to do what he tells you to do without knowing what that provision is, without knowing what's back there. All I've got to know is that God's back there. God's got my back. That's all I need to know. So he was rewarded. The angel then tells him in verses that we didn't go on to read that you're going to have an inheritance that's going to be like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. You are going to be blessed. The whole world is going to be blessed by you. Man, God always rewards faithfulness. But are we always faithful? You know, as I begin this passage, I was looking at something completely different. But I wonder how long it's been since God called you and me. How long has it been since He spoke to us to do something? Maybe we're not listening. Maybe the reason he doesn't call on me is because he knows I'm really not listening. Maybe the reason he doesn't call on you because he knows you really aren't available. That's not really something you're wanting to do. Why ask this person to do something when you know they're not going to do it? Am I willing to sacrifice and put everything aside? And God's sitting up there and he said, you know, I'd like to ask Steve if he would do this. I'd like to call Steve to go do this and make this difference and allow me to live through him. But he's not willing to put that other stuff aside. Are we willing? It hinges on that alone time. Put all the other people aside, family, friends, church, everybody else, put them aside. Like these two guys, stay here with the donkey. I'm going to go and worship. I'm going to go and worship. That's what it all hinges on, is my relationship, your relationship with Him. As Christians, we need to understand God is desiring to call us to change this world. As bad as this world looks, God still wins. God is still in control. There are people out there that He still wants to accept Him. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to eternal life. But so many times as Christians, we are satisfied that we're one of them that's saved. He's not satisfied. He wants everyone to come. He wants to call you and me to go and lay down everything that we hold dear and offer up our life as a sacrifice to Him. But I'm not listening. I'm not available. I'm not willing because I don't spend enough alone time. We're going to close with this same thought. Because there are people in a crowd this size or maybe listening on Facebook that are not Christians. I don't even know what you're talking about when you say He's calling you. Man, when you spend time alone with God and He speaks to your heart, you know it. When you're desiring to hear from God, He will speak to you. Because He desires to speak to you. He's waiting on your desire to hear from Him. As a non-Christian, I want you to think about this passage in a different way. Yeah, you still need to listen. You need to be available. You need to be willing to sacrifice. You need to spend a personal time with God. But look at what really takes place. There is a Father willing to lay down His Son, willing to let His Son be a sacrifice. This Son is then taken and nobody else knows about it. And the wood is put upon His back. And He has to walk to the place that He's going to be sacrificed. And He lays it all down for people that are never going to know. People that are never going to care. Man, the picture of Isaac is the picture of Jesus. The Father has done everything. Jesus has done everything the Father asked. Nobody back home knows. Nobody back home cares. Jesus Christ laid down His life for you and me. And so many people don't know, and so many people don't care, and so many people don't care to tell. For you and me, it comes down to the book. Is your book more important than God speaking to you? Because He wants to call you into being active. He wants to call you to a point that you lay everything down and give it all to Him. Did Abraham know how it was going to turn out? No. Do you and I know how it's going to turn out? No. I was told this past week that they're a country, I believe it's Canada, that in a short amount of time, they're making a law that if you preach a certain thing, you've got 5 years in jail. It's coming. What's more important to us? Is your freedom more important than Christ? Is your house more important than Christ? Is your job more important than Christ? Nothing should be more important than Jesus Christ. It is about Him. And I have to be willing to lay it down for Him.
I don't even know what it is, other than everything. For you and me, we need to hear, we need to lay it down, and spend time alone with Him. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I just thank You so much for Your Word, and Lord, that it is so alive. Lord, move us. Make us hear You. I know You don't do that. You're not going to make us hear You. But Lord, I pray that You give us every opportunity. I pray that our hearts would be open. I pray that we would be moved by Your Spirit. Draw us to You, Lord Jesus. I thank You for Your love and Your mercy and Your grace, Your faithfulness. In Your precious name I pray. Amen.